You're listening to Hidden Mysteries Radio, discussing the topics no one else dares to.
Good Wednesday to you too.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, it's not Wednesday, it's Thursday.
I know, it's Thursday. We missed out yesterday.
Yeah, you had a sick car.
A sick car, that's right. A sick car is a bad thing to have. It wasn't actually sick, it was just non-compliant. Tail light went out and I didn't notice until time to come over here and it was already dark, so I had to wait and go get a bulb and put in today. So I didn't figure there was anything we were going to talk about last night that was important enough for a $500 ticket.
You don't think they're going to give us a ticket, do you?
They give us a ticket every time we get on the road if we give them an opportunity to.
They didn't throw us in jail for nothing.
Yeah, they threw you in jail for, you're the only person I know who ever went to jail for not having his driver's license on him when he was in the passenger seat.
Yeah, they don't seem to like it when we film them.
Film them, and they don't
back
like
when I was filming. We had the big old shoulder cameras.
Yeah, you were filming them on VHS, right?
Yeah.
Well, they don't like nationalists
either.
1-inch
tape, too.
Yeah, and that was before, way before. I mean, decades before.
Well, not that many decades.
Well, a couple of decades.
Yeah.
Before the police ever even had any idea about anybody filming them. I mean, they're used to it now, and they still chimp out sometimes, you know?
They go flipping totally berserk
just
because they see a camera.
Yeah.
You think we're killing them.
Well, you know what the police always tell us and the intelligence agencies and everything, they tell us, well, if you're not doing wrong, then you shouldn't mind everybody knowing what you're up to.
That's what they all like to use on us, yeah.
I mean, what do you need privacy for if you're not a bad guy? And then
when you ask for an open records act, they're the first one to close up the shop.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, what's funny about it is the cops and the spooks and all that, they want to tell you that if you're not a bad person, you shouldn't have anything to hide in your bedroom or your sock drawer or your private records or any of that as a private citizen. But these assholes are public servants working on our dime, and every court that has ever got their hands on it has said that we have the right to know what they're up to when they're on duty. And if they're if they're a sworn off or just a government employee or even a government contractor of any kind, that we have the right to film them in the performance of their duties. And the only people who seem to have any kind of voice in not wanting to be filmed is the ones who are supposed to be filmed.
Well, you know, some of these coward cops are doing I saw them on eBay, writing on the forums on eBay, talking about they should restrict and outlaw any posting of anything that makes fun of a cop on eBay, because this whole world is turned against them.
They've learned that from the
world hasn't turned against them. It's been turned against them because they're stupid.
Yeah. Well, now I've got to say they're getting, you'll be shocked to hear this come from me, but here lately in some aspects,
they've been getting some bad raps.
In some aspects, they're getting really bad raps, especially in this racial stuff.
They deserve it because of what they've done. Maybe not on that instant, but they've done it before and they know it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, you said they're wanting everything critical of a cop banned. They must have learned that from the Jews, because that brings us to the first thing I wanted to bring up tonight. I told you I had something I wanted to talk about, but I didn't want to tell you.
Uh-oh.
I didn't want to tell you about it before.
You're going to chimp out on them Jews again, aren't you?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not me. I told you I had something to talk about. I asked you if you'd watched the debates or seen any of the coverage and all that, and you told me no.
I don't watch that.
You weren't interested in it. Well, I was watching the debates.
I mean, looting things are on. Why don't I watch that?
Right. Well, I was watching the debates, and as I told you, I refer to that last debate, the one last night that CNN hosted, as the Jerry Springer debate, because that's really what they tried to make it into, is a Jerry Springer show. They wanted everybody to fight and argue with Trump, and they got a lot.
So they brought out all these transvestites to argue with Trump. I mean, the Republican candidates, same thing.
Right. Mike Huckabee, Rand Paul, and yeah, all
Santorum
that.
Santorum there doing his.
Santorum wasn't there. He's not running.
Doing his Santorum
thing. Oh, and Rick Perry dropped out a week or two ago.
Well, Rick Perry was a dropout.
Right.
He's a piece of crap.
He was a dropout from the gene pool.
He's what we call a dingleberry.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I was watching the debate, and I was, tweeting live during the debate what I thought about things. And so I was watching Twitter and the debate at the same time. And suddenly I see Ann Coulter tweet. Oh, no, you're going to be proud of Ann. You're going to quit telling people you think she's a man after this.
I know she is.
No, she's not.
Yeah, she is.
No, she's not. She got a lot more balls than most men.
Yeah, she's got a lot of balls.
But she's not a man. But anyway, you're not going to get me to say anything bad about Ann tonight. Just wait until you hear this.
I agree with her on some issues, but it still don't make her less
bad. Well, here's a new issue you're going to agree with her.
I think if she really is a man, she's very brave to go that route.
Uh-huh. Well, anyway, if you're about to agree with her on another issue, the first tweet I saw of hers that just made me stand at attention and go, oh, my God, was... She said, what is Mike Huckabee running for? Prime Minister of Israel? And Huckabee was doing his old protected.
I just fell in love.
Yeah. Well, just wait till you hear the next one. A few minutes later, I look up, and Ann Coulter, and all the politicians, especially Kasich and Cruz and those guys, they kept referring to the principles of Judaism and that our founding fathers had. They'd always throw that in before they even said Christian.
Have they ever read George Washington and what he said about it?
And he said they should. It's the pity they hadn't been hunted down. Yeah, but anyway. But wait.
So Hitler and George were on the same card,
and Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin
and Truman.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I look up at my Twitter feed, and there is Ann Coulter, and she has just tweeted out. Just how many fucking Jews do these idiots think live in America? Now, of course, she put dash marks in place of the UCK, made it effing, but everybody knows what she meant. Ann Coulter tweeted, fucking Jews.
I got to admire her. She's got some balls.
Oh, yeah, she does. And
now, I might even go to bed with her now.
Yeah. Oh, I told her how much I love her now. Marry me, Ann Coulter.
You get your first taste of tranny once. You'd be on the wild side.
I'll never come back. Is that right? Well, anyway.
Like that movie with Jack Nicholson. Take a trip on the wild side.
Now, what movie are we talking about?
He played the psychiatrist.
Oh, yeah. that had that goofy Jewish guy in it. Yeah. Adam
Sandler.
Sandler, yeah. Well, anyway. So immediately, what's so funny is the Jews just had a collective global aneurysm when she did that. And all day long, immediately just this huge groundswell of support before the Jews could even get upset. And that tells you how fast I'm talking about.
She's related to one of them old cultures of Old West?
I don't know. Well, she's from, I believe her family's from New York State. I could be wrong about that. I know she went to Columbia, so I don't know. But anyway, and she's got that old Northeastern blue blood accent, Mm-hmm. But anyhow, kind of like Jared Taylor, every time he says white, he says, which he says quite often because
it's a case of the blue balls every once in a while.
Well, but like Jared Taylor, every time he says white, he says, oh, white. He's got that H in the front, white.
That sounds Bostonian.
Well, he's Virginian, but yeah. Anyway, which that's not Northeastern, but there's plenty of blue bloods in Virginia. But anyhow, before the Jews could even get offended, which that tells you that whatever was faster than Jews getting offended was moving at the speed of light.
I was going to say, they get offended over anything.
Right. But before they could even get offended, the alt-right, my friends, had already come up with the hashtag, I stand with Ann. And all and all day today, we've been posting under the hashtag I stand with Ann and posting all the reasons why it's putting Israel ahead of the United States or even being allies with Israel is a bad idea.
It's a joke.
Well, like,
what
for one thing,
ever done for us?
Well, at least about 50 times today, I tweeted out hashtag I stand with Ann and included the link to the story on hiddenmysteriesradio.com. Remember the USS Liberty.
Oh, yes. Let's remember
and,
that.
Right. Oh, yeah. And, Ann is not backing down either. And,
oh, maybe she ought to run for president
but,
of Israel.
But see, I know you
have a human over there for a change.
I know you haven't, seen Twitter except just to look at, you know, like when I set up the Hidden Mysteries account, you've gone and looked at it a couple of times.
Not my bag.
Right, right. I think maybe just a little touch of ADHD helps you on Twitter because I'm really good at it. but anyway, so, you know, when you're having to get your ideas out there 140 characters at a time, it helps to be in the moment. You know, but the thing is, I would tweet that kind of stuff out in that hashtag. And when you tweet out in these hashtags, if the hashtags are big, people click on the hashtag. And so people that don't follow you, that wouldn't normally interact with you, they see what's going on in that hashtag and they'll come interact. And I had so many of them, Jews and Shabbos Goyim. You know, by Shabbos Goyim, I mean these evangelicals who worship the Jews and not Jesus Christ.
I think that's a bad tag. The Shabbos Goyim have a noble calling.
What's that, to open the refrigerator for a Jew on Saturday?
Yes, turn the lights on and off.
Right.
Start the car.
Yeah, turn on the water hydrant.
I mean, there's got to be a better, more derogatory term for these kind.
Right.
Evangelical cowards.
Well.
Sellouts, traitors. Traitor to their own religion.
I don't know. I've got a picture of, you know, that rat-faced Jew character that...
Aggie?
In all the cartoons, the rat-faced Jew guy with the beard and the nasty yellow teeth and the giant honker and all that.
There's a reason that Ted Haggard and John Aggie have such a close related name.
I've got a meme that has that guy all bent over with his rectum sticking up in the air and says he's always willing, ready and willing for members of his Zio cult to service him.
Well, Ted Haggard was there to do it.
Oh, Ted Haggard is tossing the Jew salad. There's no two ways about it.
Yes, he was.
But anyway.
He's taking the dope right off the crack.
But it's amazing, you know, the way that every time you can get the global Zionist Jewry really offended and defending itself, that's when you really get to put their hypocrisy on display, because some of the first, you know, I would go and look at the replies to Ann's tweet, because, you know, she has hundreds of thousands of followers.
Yeah.
And
her books are not bad, but just sometimes she
some of them are great.
The hell out of you when she's
man,
there.
I haven't read the whole thing, but I've read like full chapter excerpts from Adios America, the new book she's got about immigration, which, by the way, Donald Trump credits as being what woke him up about immigration.
Good. And I'm glad Ann's changed her underwear for a change.
Yeah, yeah. And
got a new jock strap, I hear.
Right, right. Anyway, so
we appreciate you, Ann. You
yeah,
big
I do.
Balls, big cojones.
Hey, man, I've always said I like her. You know, I don't agree. But when she
I told you'd do the wild thing if you had the
yeah,
chance.
Yeah, well, when she was opining the
war, I couldn't stand her.
No, but even before that, you know, when she was always the mainstream media's edgy voice to advocate for mainstream Republican policies, I usually disagreed with her, but I always liked her style. You know,
she had a style.
Oh, she'll say the most outrageous things and just never backs down from any of it. And you never could shame her. You know,
she's shameless, because even if she's lying, she's shameless.
Well, no, I mean, you know, but you know what I mean by the shaming? Like,
I know,
you know, you've been involved with the Texas nationalist movement for all these years, and people will try to shame you by saying you're a traitor and all that stuff. or
not loyal to your country,
right? Or when I advocate against mass immigration, or I advocate against forced integration and that
I'm
kind of
stuff.
I'm
very loyal to my country,
right? Texas, I know you are. You're the vice president of it. But anyway, you must have had to take some kind of an oath for that, didn't you?
Oh, I took an oath.
Yeah,
it's not an oath that U.S. likes, but
I hear you. Anyway, whenever I advocate for the things I advocate for, like immigration moratorium or ending enforced integration and that kind of stuff, I have people that just think they're going to dogpile me screaming racist, bigot, and all that stuff. And, that's the oldest shaming tactic in our popular culture right now. And it used to really work, but that kind of thing never worked on Ann Coulter.
Now it's kind of reversing the downtrodden are trying to become the ones that want to beat the other race over the head.
Yeah. Well, I tell people every day, if you're a white Gentile and you haven't been called a racist anti-Semite yet, you're a piece of shit. you obviously either have no opinions or you don't express them.
I'm not an anti-Semite because I don't hate Jews.
You are too an anti-Semite.
No, I'm not.
You want me to tell you why?
I'm not anti-Semite because they're not Semites.
No. You're an anti-Semite.
They're not.
An anti-Semite is not a person who hates Semites. That's not what it means.
I know.
An anti-Semite is somebody a Jew doesn't like. That's what an anti-Semite is.
They have to go a long way to prove that the Jews in Israel are Semites to begin with.
But here's the thing. Immediately they began screaming, Ann Coulter's an anti-Semite. And I would ask them, I would say, well, Jews account for a little less than 2% of the United States population. So how is Ann Coulter pointing out that these guys are spending 90% of their time on the stage pandering to Jews when they're only 2% of the population? How is that anti-Semitic?
I don't know. I think maybe if we wake these other races up, I think the whites are knocking their heads against the wall. Let them know that we're all being knocked against the wall by Zog.
Yeah,
that we have some allies.
Well, let me put it in perspective here. If I were able to hypnotize all the Republicans just right before the next debate, to where they would get out there and every time they wanted to praise the Jews, they would praise the Buddhists instead. And Ann Coulter were to tweet, just how many effing Buddhists do you people think live in the United States? Would that be anti-Buddhist?
Or Muslim even.
Well, lots of those live here.
Probably not even 2%.
I bet it's more than that.
Yeah, because the Jews have had a longer role here than Muslims.
Yeah, but they don't reproduce like Muslims do. There's not near as many of them in the world either.
Well, yeah, but that's because they're busy being faggot from birth.
Yeah. Well, they get the tip of their pecker chopped off and sucked on by a pervert, and from that moment on, they're warped. But
you got to wonder about a religion that respects that penis all that much.
Yeah, yeah. But here's the thing, Ghost. We've talked off the air before. We've discussed how frustrating it is for you that you didn't think anything was when we do these shows like the International Jew or the show about BB goes to Washington and that kind of stuff. And I'd say, man, that was a good show. We brought up a lot of stuff. It's going to really make people think. And you'd say, well, I don't know if it's going to do any good because I've been talking about this stuff for decades and nobody
ever. John Bertrand have started this decades ago. Yeah. Nobody ever listened.
But I'm here to tell you, Ghost.
They're not listening.
No, they are now. Listen now. Ann Coulter has brought all these guys. There are all these people out there who have giant social media accounts, who have always been, your standard old, traditional, Robert Byrd,
You watch Ann Coulter not get another book published.
Well, no way. Just let me keep going here. Your traditional Robert Byrd, Barry Goldwater type Republicans who in their tweets are always very realist about blacks, Hispanics, and all that stuff, but never ever mention the Jews. They're mentioning them now. People are waking up. It is happening, Ghost. It is happening.
I remember Nixon mentioning them. I remember Truman mentioning them. I think Mr. Kennedy had a few words to say about them.
He did. And I will go into that after the break before we...
We'll say that tomorrow.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's just a quote I was going to give. Okay. But anyway, but I'll have to look it up because I didn't bring my little... remote hard drive that has all my quotes. Stuff on it, my quotes, my memes, and all that. But I can go find it real easy. But anyway, it really is happening. I know you're having a hard time.
When I see the City of London fall, then we'll know.
You're going to see it soon.
I want to see that City of London fall.
I'm telling you.
It has to be an internal collapse.
I'm telling you, the people's attitudes toward world Jewry right now are right on a par with where the Germans' attitude towards...
Well, when I see Germany and most of Europe pointing the fingers at Israel for causing all the trouble they've got right now, then I'll believe you. But until then, they're still being controlled by it.
Okay. You should see what people are saying.
I see what the people are saying. I want to see the governments, the sovereign nations.
Oh, no, the governments are Jew.
I know. Okay. Well, I can't believe that Merkel's a Jew. I think she's a...
Oh, no, but Merkel was Stasi.
She's a paid informant of some sort.
No, but I mean, when she was young, Merkel was Stasi. This is not a conspiracy theory. She was Stasi.
She's ugly.
Well, you know, for the people out there listening who may not know, Stasi. I know you do.
Yeah,
I said
for
the people, it was the East German secret police. They made the KGB look like the London Bobbies or something. And,
they wanted to reunite the two Germanies, and this is what we ended up with.
Yeah. Well,
a sellout of their sovereignty.
Yeah.
Where is Hitler when you need him
there? Well, they're actually, they've actually tightened up their border, because of the giant strain that they're already having on their social services. And, they're trying to force Poland and
Germany.
Hungary.
You said they were bringing out the toys and.
Yeah. Germany,
same thing that
Germany,
Glenn Beck did here.
Yeah, Germany is the ones who last week on, I think last Friday's show, we discussed that Merkel said that they could and would take 500,000 net immigrants a year for the foreseeable future from the Middle East.
Why? Why not fix the Middle East? We tore it up. The United States is obligated to fix it without arms, without weapons. Go down there and get it set up like we promised them. So they have a place to go back to and get Israel to shut the fuck up, leave Syria alone, leave Lebanon alone, leave Egypt alone, leave Iran alone. And if they don't, let all those Middle Easterns go after them.
Well, to answer your question as to why are they doing this, for probably the 40th or 50th time on this show, let me quote the father of the European Union, Codenhove Kalergi.
I know that, but
he said, "We intend to change the European race into a mongrel race of Negroes and Asians so that we may rule
them." They don't want to be Jewish and be another mongrel race.
Hmm?
They don't want to be Jewish and be another mongrel race.
That's true. And that's another thing that came out during all this Ann Coulter stuff. All these Jews, when they would come in and start messing with Ann Coulter, they would call for, the first thing I noticed was they would call for her beheading. It was very popular. They'd say, "She needs to have her head chopped off.
This is civilized Jewry."
Yeah, and I would tell them, every time I saw that, I would reply to it and quote it and say, "Remember, look at this. Every single time anyone disagrees with a Jew, the Jew demands that they be killed." Yet we're allegedly, according to the Jews, we're the supremacists.
And they're proving Hitler was right in his speeches.
Well, we're just cattle we're just goy cattle, right? That's all we are. We're just cattle.
If you believe in Christianity, this big old four square city's going to drop down. Where do they think it's going to land?
I don't know. What do they think is going to land?
1500 miles by 1500 miles by 1500 miles cubic
spaceship.
The city is supposed to drop down out of the sky and land.
Mothership.
And land on Israel.
Well, it's the city of Jerusalem.
It's squash them like a bug.
It's the heavenly city of Jerusalem. Yeah, I understand that. That crap's all in the Schofield notes.
It's all mythology.
Yeah. Well, look, we're going to take a break. And when we come back,
we'll talk about some more mythologies.
Well, yeah, when we come back, we'll probably, for 5 or 10 minutes, we'll talk about one or two other scattered things. And then we're going to talk about both the character Enoch and the Lost Books of Enoch. Sound good, Ghost?
That's hitting.
All right. Y'all listen to these commercials, and if you don't do what they say, you're going to hell.
Truth seekers and freedom-loving Texans, HiddenMysteries.com is the place to find those hard-to-locate books for your research. HiddenMysteries.com has the largest and most diverse knowledge-based selection on the Internet today. Be sure and visit HiddenMysteries.org for over 12,000 free articles for truth seekers. Visit HiddenMysteries.com today or call 903-876-3256 for a free catalog.
Just keeping it Texas on RST. Just keeping it Texas the way it ought to be. As Texas as chili and barbecue. Keeping it real for me and you. Just keeping it Texas on RST. Texas, where you wanna be. RadioFreeTexas.org, bringing Texas to the world.
Hey, Ghost.
Yes.
We're back.
We're back again.
While we were on the break, I showed Ghost the newest music video from that YouTube channel I'm so hot for called Chicks a Goddess. The newest one is it's a parody of Lana Del Rey's Like an American, which is this song that tries to redefine what an American is. And according to Lana Del Rey, you've got to be brown to be an American. But anyway, I had listened to this song a bunch of times, this parody a bunch of times before I went and listened to the Lana Del Rey song. And Chicks a Goddess, whoever the girl is singing that, is really good. It's a
good voice, yeah.
She does a lot better version of it than Lana Del Rey. But it's Like a Degenerate. What did you think about that video, Ghost?
Shocking.
Yeah, and this... and see,
surprising.
Yeah, and this is actually, you know... somebody who, you know, isn't getting out there and seeing what's going on, if they looked at this, they would think, you know, oh, these are aberrations. What you said? No. This is society now. And anyway, I'm going to post the video here so folks can see it, and I'll post the link to
it certainly wasn't Michael Jackson.
No, and I'll post a link to Chicks a Goddess's YouTube channel so our listeners can go check it out and maybe subscribe to it if they're on, you know, if they have a YouTube channel or a Google Plus.
They need to subscribe to us first.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Ghost. The top right, right under the banner on our website, we do have a PayPal where you can use pretty much any credit or debit card there is.
Yes.
And donate to us. The Rootless International Merchants haven't taken away our PayPal yet like they've done to Daily Stormer and lots of other websites like that, so we haven't had to resort to Bitcoin or anything yet. So if you like the show, you know, throw us a couple of bucks, unless you're poor. And if you are poor, God bless you. Keep your money. But if you have a little bit extra and you appreciate what we do, man, we could sure use some better microphones and stuff.
Well, we're doing great on what we got. But
well, yeah.
But sure have to pay the server bills.
Yeah, we do. We do. We have to pay that every week. And I think it would probably be a little bit surprising to people out there how much work goes into doing a show like this that they don't ever see or hear.
It's 3 months just to get it together and just before we've ever had one word recorded.
Yeah, and now in our defense, that was 3 months in our spare time, a couple of days a week when we had time to do it.
Oh, and, yeah, I'm talking about getting all the equipment. And
well, the equipment, and of course, and there, no telling how many hours I spent watching tutorials and stuff on YouTube and going through message boards and FAQs and all that stuff. But, yeah, you know, if you, like I say, I forgot to tell you, Ghost, hopefully I've got it on this computer. If I don't, I could probably go find where I posted on Twitter, but, I went on one of these, sites where you buy, like your t-shirts for your commercial enterprise or whatever. And designed a Hidden Mysteries Radio t-shirt to show you. So maybe we'll offer a little bit of swag for the folks to buy, or maybe we'll just, you know, buy a few of them And here in a couple of months, when we get started doing the live broadcasts, people that call in that ask questions that we really like or something, we'll just give it to them, give them a shirt for a promotional prize or something.
I'm like a winner if we can get it.
If we can get it. But boy, we sure have reached deep into these shallow pockets of ours already. So anyway, but you know, if you do it right, the swag thing works well, because like the guys over at Daily Show, they sell an oven mitt with Daily Show on it.
I'm not into that part of it.
All right, I know, but what I'm saying is, I mean, they've just sold them out, and you know, people that want it, this is my understanding.
Really kosher?
Well, what goes in the oven is definitely kosher. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's all in good fun. All in good fun. But I got the before we went to the break, I said I had a John F. Kennedy quote that I wanted to read. Can I read that now, sure. Ghost? One day after I am long gone, you will remember me and say, we should have stopped the nuclear program of Israel, abolished the Federal Reserve, and kicked all secret societies, occultists, usurpers, and Zionists out of our wonderful country to keep it that way. But it is never too late. Just remember that. John F. Kennedy.
Whoa, I didn't know he was going after all of them.
Well, you know, in his secret society speech, you've heard that, right?
Yeah.
America abhors secrets, secrecy, that kind of thing, or free society. That speech is a very famous speech. He mentioned most of the groups there, and we know that he was hot to stop Israel from getting nuclear weapons. We also know that he was going straight after the Federal Reserve with the...
Well, did he consider Freemasonry a secret society? Because they're not much secret anymore.
Well, no, they're not secret as far as the, you know, the rank and file members love to brag that they're in it and all that.
There's no big secrets. I mean, all their stuff that they used to publish that was big, big secret news is, oh, it basically owes in source now.
Well, the rituals and all that, yeah. But, I mean, what's going on at the meetings is definitely a secret. I mean, I don't know. Nobody will tell me. You know, like when our local newspaper.
Well, I know a guy that was high up in the masonry down in Yoakum. And
yeah.
He said he quit going because his Baptist wouldn't let him drink like they did at all those meetings.
Yeah, but how high up in masonry can you get in Yoakum?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Surely not 33rd degree.
I don't even think you can get 33rd degree in the United States. I think you got to be in England to get that.
Oh, Europe. Europe. There's French 33rd degree Masons, I know for a fact. There's one real famous one who, with all his Masonic stuff, always wore... He wore a sick big gold 666 medallion and all.
I think there was, he was 64 or something like that in Egypt.
Well, since
I have a lot of respect for Mason.
I mean, what are the
a lot of respect for what those guys do?
Right, sure. Well, but what are the symbols? Is the mitre and the
square and the compass?
The square and the compass. Yeah. Well, if it's the square and the compass, you'd think they would go up to 180th degree Mason, right? No. Or 360th degree, whatever. But, all right. Now,
something about the 33rd degree parallel that means is important to the whole setup.
Yeah. Well,
they don't even know their own secrets anymore.
Yeah. Well, let's get on to the good stuff. How about that?
The first Mason.
No. Well, he may be. I don't know. But Enoch and the Book of Enoch. Now, Ghost sells... here at Hidden Mysteries, over at HiddenMysteries.com, and it will be linked under the show here. You can just click. We'll have a picture of the book.
There's three books by Enoch that we carry.
Right.
Different translations, and one of them is Emerald Tablets.
Yeah. Oh, Emerald Tablets of Thoth.
Thoth is technically Enoch, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. But I'm talking about the specific book that I was looking at yesterday and today, The Lost Books of Enoch.
And we've got the Books of Enoch in them. We've got... a different translation called the Book of Enoch.
Right. Well, I was looking at that, and I guess if we're going to talk about it, first we should talk about the Essenes, because this is Dead Sea Scrolls is where they got this the stuff in that book from. I read, you know, I was studying the foreword, and now the best example of an Essene that people would know who he is John the Baptist. Except maybe Jesus, but it's not confirmed he was in a scene and all that.
I think Peter was too, but he was on, and Simon with the Zealot.
Mm-hmm.
The Zealots were the strong arms of the scene group.
Right. Well, now John the Baptist was described as a guy who basically, he went around wearing a camel skin loincloth, eating bees and honey, right? Or eating grasshoppers and honey, whatever is what he lived on. He's like a barbarian. Or is that an accurate description based on what's in the Bible, you think?
Do I think it's accurate?
Yeah.
I think it's accurate for the mythology, but as far as a person actually doing that, no.
But I mean, that the Essenes weren't a group running around looking like Tarzan.
No.
Right. They were
much more refined.
Yeah. But they were, I guess,
they were for the preservation of the true religion of Judaism,
right.
Not the crap that was going on in the Senate at the Great Temple.
They were for the religion of the Hebrews.
Yes. But not what was going on in the synagogue.
Right. Because as we talked about,
the temple.
Yeah. Because as we discussed, on the show Origins of Man and Myth, the Hebrew/Israelites are not the same people as the Jews. The Jews are mostly these Edomites who were brought into, and the Pharisees come from the Edomites, and the Pharisees created their own religion, basically.
That's why it was called Herod's Temple. It wasn't called Yahweh's Temple
or Solomon's
or the
Temple.
Hebrew Temple. It was called
Herod's Temple. It wasn't called Solomon's Temple, was it?
No. They can't find any reference there ever was a Solomon's Temple.
In the Bible.
I mean, they can't find any archaeological evidence.
Right, right. But an interesting thing about that is,
I just don't think Nebuchadnezzar was that thorough.
I used your line today when somebody, a Jewish woman, started screeching that Ann Coulter, how dare she say what she said, because, and this was what the woman said, she said, Jews were here before anybody, were God's chosen people. And I asked her, I used your line. I said, well, if you're God's chosen people, why did he give you the shittiest piece of real estate on the planet? And, of course, she didn't, her reply was to block me. But, I had a friend, and this is a really great guy too, Noble Wolf, and he's got a bunch of numbers in his, username. So I can't tell everybody the username to go follow him, but I'll post it. I'll post a link to where you can follow him. I really like Noble Wolf. He's a nationalist guy over in England, but his name really fits him, the noble part, because he's always a gentleman. You never see Noble Wolf getting mad and cursing anybody. I mean, he's just always really calm and talking about politics and philosophy and stuff. And people can scream every epithet at him in the world, and he just keeps calm. But he jumped in and he said, well, you know, Israel, the area that we call Israel now, wasn't always a desert. And even as a desert, it's very beautiful. And I said, well, yeah, it's really beautiful, but it's not exactly a cornucopia of resources.
It was not the promised land. It was not the land of big fruit. It was not the land of giants.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I brought
the land of Canaanites.
Right. Right. The promised land went to the dogs. Right.
That's right.
Caleb's kids. And I pointed that out today. And a lot of our listeners were favoriting and RTing that because, a lot of them knew
it here.
A lot of them knew it already, but a lot of them learned it here. That's right.
Kurt Waldheim brought it forward in modern times when he made a reference to him about dogs.
Kurt Waldheim was the greatest.
Yes.
I never saw anybody butthurt the whole world the way he did just by being president.
Just by being Kurt. He was hilarious and at the same time very serious.
Yeah, they were always screaming of former Nazi Kurt Waldheim.
He was a true patriot and nationalist of his own realm.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with that. I hope Austria keeps that road.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, so back to these Essenes. From what I understand about the Essenes, and I brought this up in conversations that we had, one alternative and just really quick synopsis of what an Essene is, they're kind of like Gnostic Jews, aren't they?
Yes, and they lean more toward the spiritual side of ancient Persian gods.
Yeah.
The Mithra and the Zarathustra and all that.
Yeah. And
I don't mention those as names, but that's the leaning they have in their thought processes.
And in a lot of schools of thought, even in some mainstream theological schools of thought, there's a lot
Enoch and the Essenes are not, you know, they use the secrets of the Enoch.
Right, right.
There's well, no we're, evidence we're gonna, to use the book of
Well, yeah, we're going to get to that. I just want to talk about the Essenes for a couple of minutes here. Jesus Christ, in a lot of these schools of theology, they say he was likely an Essene.
See, now, one of the popular myths, or maybe it's, maybe they've established the fact that they wore loincloths.
Yeah.
Now, loincloth is what the apron of masonry is.
Yeah.
It's not actually garment. It's a.
Is it magic underwear?
No, not that stupid. No, it's just a token of your level of belief in the certain sect that you're in.
Yeah.
And that loincloth goes back into, according to the Bible, ways go way back.
I thought the Mason's apron actually represented a real Mason's apron.
No, yeah, but it's not a piece of garment. It's not something you'd wear.
No, but
to go to work in.
Right, but it represents that apron that they wear that has their tools and stuff.
That's where
it.
The thought pattern came from, yeah.
Right, right.
The Essene thing goes all the way back through the righteousness of Melchizedek.
And I think I mentioned this on the show Origins of Man and Myth, but it's apropos here. The translations of the Bible where they say Jesus was a carpenter, those are actually mistranslations, yes. and they're translated from Latin and Greek, so it's very clear what he actually was. He was a mason. I don't mean a Freemason. I mean a person who works with stone, or at least Joseph was.
And he may have been a Freemason.
May have been.
Because
does Freemasonry really go back?
They credit their stories back to the time of Solomon, too.
Oh, further than that. They credit it back to ancient Egypt.
Well, yeah, but I mean that's...
I mean, to the olden kingdom.
But the story of Hiram, they trace back to Solomon's temple.
Right.
Through the sons of Jacob.
Well, these things are shrouded in the clouds of history.
In lost history.
Yeah, yeah. But
the Nazarite became the Essene.
Right. Yeah, that's weird. I actually mentioned something about Nazarites today.
Not those of Nazareth. Nazareth is different than Nazarite.
I know that.
Yeah, I mean, you do. But.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Nazarite is in, Leviticus. Is it Leviticus or Numbers? It's one of the others. It's book 6 where it explains how to be a Nazarite. Now, Samson was a Nazarite.
Yes.
But he was an unusual Nazarite. Samson was born a Nazarite. Other than Samson, if you wanted to be a Nazarite, it was a ritual that you went through, and you had to quit cutting your hair, period.
It was a study and a training, and it wasn't just overnight.
Well, you were like this set-apart spiritual warrior, and the Nazarite was not allowed to drink wine or consume grapes. He had to let his hair grow. He couldn't be in the presence of a dead body. If he went in the presence of a dead body, he had to shave his head and start over. There were lots and lots of rules about being a Nazarite. And I had someone call me one of these Jewish women called me a skinhead today. And I told her, my hair is long and uncut. I could be a Nazarite. I'm more Jewish than you. And she blocked me. But anyway.
Don't like it when you know more of their Torah than they do.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you're looking straight at me, goes, do I round the corners of my head?
No, your head's too rounded to make corners.
No, I've got a nice, luxurious beard and long hair. I'm following, it's Numbers. Number 6 is the story of Samson and the instructions of how to be a Nazarite. And, I always wondered why these guys who go to prison and have to have their hair cut against their will that don't want to, why some of them don't claim that shit,
I don't think Muslims are supposed to be cutting their hair either.
Well, and in Texas, they cut everybody's hair. And they do it in federal prison, too. But in federal prison, they only do it when you get there. Kind of like at the concentration camps in Germany, for the lice.
Yeah.
But, of course, that's a ridiculous reason because, they have lice breakouts in jails and stuff all the time. And they have shampoo now that they'll give you a little, about a quarter of an ounce of, and it soaps up your whole body, and they just pass it out to everybody and say, give us all your clothes, and they give you clean clothes, and the lice are gone. But, in Texas, prisons, they cut everybody's hair, and the only people who get any kind of break from that is for health reasons. Like, a lot of black guys will get what they call a clipper shave pass, where every few days they go to the barber and they get the barber will let them use the clippers and they shave their face with the clippers because if they shave with a razor, they'll break out in bumps. But they have to actually go to the doctor when they have the bumps to get the pass. And there's a lot of other religious stuff that they violate in prisons, like the Indians, American Indians in Texas prisons. They don't get to use tobacco for their religious ceremonies because tobacco is banned in the prisons. So,
you know, stupid.
Well, yeah, I agree. It causes a lot of trouble. And well, you know, there's a back and forth to that because, you know, you have all these guys who are going to be in prison for 30 or 40 years. And if they're smoking, when they get lung cancer, you have to give them the treatment for the lung cancer that costs hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars.
That was the state's decision when they decided to take his life and put him behind bars.
Well, I suppose. But I mean, if a guy's raped 10 people, what should, you know, how good a treatment should he get?
Raped 10 people, he shouldn't be buying bars.
He should be dead. I agree.
That's right.
But, well, you know, that's an interesting.
Or just go for the eye for an eye and then let him go.
Yeah. Well, I've always said.
Get raped 10 times.
The problem that we have with our gun laws and stuff, you know how they take the gun right, the federal government takes away the gun rights of anybody who's convicted of any felony, whether it's a state felony or a federal felony, for life. And I've always said that if a person is too dangerous to be allowed possession of a firearm, he's too dangerous to be in society.
He's too dangerous to be a cop.
Yeah. All right. So these Essenes that we're talking about, they were a mystical sect of the ancient Hebrew religion. The religion of the 12 tribes of Israel is handed down in Leviticus, right?
True.
And
you go back to the Dead Sea Scrolls that they found of some of the Essene writings. And you almost see verbatim where they got Jesus' quotes in the New Testament.
Sure. But another thing I want to get to before we get off the Essenes and get to Enoch is the Essenes, correct me if I'm wrong, because it very well could be, the Essenes were the sect that first started the practice of baptism in Judaism, right?
I don't know. I know they used it, but
yeah,
they've always had a baptism in Judaism, but it wasn't for a person born Jewish.
Right.
It's for a convert coming in.
Right.
But that's why it didn't make any sense that Jesus got baptized if he was already Jewish.
Well, John the Baptist was baptizing everybody, and he was baptizing them into this new covenant of the Messiah who he said was already alive and among us, right?
He was probably using a mikvah and not a baptism.
Yeah. Well, he was doing it in the Jordan River.
Exactly.
What's a mikvah? What's the difference in a mikvah and a baptism?
A mikvah, you put yourself underwater. You crouch down, get your waters cover your head, and then you jump at least an inch or a half inch or something.
Right.
So the water completely surrounds the body.
Yeah.
And that's the mikvah. The whole body has been washed clean.
Yeah.
The idea is if your feet stayed on the ground, you're still dirty.
Oh, I see. So
the Baptists
washed.
Have it wrong, and so do the sprinklers.
Well, when they baptized me in a Baptist church, I was 6 years old. My feet didn't touch the bottom.
Oh.
So I guess they got it right with me, huh?
Maybe. Of course, 6 years old, you probably couldn't reach the bottom.
Right, right. Well, anyway, okay. So the reason that I brought up the Essenes is because that's where most of the remnants of these, of what they call, not necessarily all the books of Enoch, but what they call these lost books of Enoch, that's where these came from in that particular book. And
the secrets of Enoch came from this, from the Essenes.
Right.
Not the book of Enoch.
No, I'm talking about not the book of Enoch. I'm talking about what
secrets of Enoch.
You're right. But what is in this book called the lost books of Enoch, where it's just got these pieces of books where they don't have the whole books. There are two or three different books of Enoch.
Well, yeah, there's one book. Fragments.
Yeah, right. That's the secrets of Enoch you're talking about. Well, anyway, go ahead, and I'm just going to sit back here for long enough for you to explain to the people who Enoch was.
Well, Enoch was not, because he was walking with God, and he was not. And that's all the Bible really says about him, because he was not actually a Jewish historical figure.
Well, no, Enoch, the story
long before the Hebrews came.
Right. I was going to say Enoch is early on in Genesis, way before Abraham.
If I remember right, he is Noah's grandfather by genealogy.
Yeah.
But Enoch was probably what you'd call God's firstborn son sort of thing.
Right.
Enoch was also a legend to have been loved by all the kings of the earth of that time.
Yeah.
And he was so popular that when he decided to walk with God and was not, that all the kings of the earth went looking for him.
Yeah.
And interesting enough, they discovered that they went to the North Pole, that area, looking for him in the Arctic.
Hmm.
So what was up there that Enoch had to go see?
Maybe he went question. Inner Earth.
Maybe it's inner Earth. Maybe there's a launching pad. Who knows?
Yeah.
But Enoch is part of the thrice-born mythology.
The Trinity?
Yes. Yeah. But he's thrice-born. He's Toth of the Egyptian religion.
Uh-huh.
Enoch in the Hebrew and Christian religions.
Right.
And in the Roman and the Greek, it'd be the messenger, Hermes, or Mercury.
Right.
Now, if you go back into Christianity, everybody misses the point. They keep saying the word Messiah. Well, there is no Greek word for Messiah. There's one word, and it's called messenger.
Mm-hmm.
He was the messenger. It's the same word they use for Lord, it's the word for messenger. Same word they use for angel is messenger.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus, in effect, was technically Mercury.
Right.
One of the thrice born.
Right. Well, okay. Now, the book of Enoch was not included in the Bible when they did the councils of Nicaea and the council of Worms and all that, where they decided and argued over what went in the Bible. Those, they chose not to include
it. Those wormy priests did not want you to know that the earth might be round or that it circled the sun, because Enoch was very explicit about it.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yes.
Well, and there were also a lot of prophecies in there that
prophecies
they didn't want,
they don't
out.
Want you to see. There's a lot of books that they have kept away from people. Enoch's just one of the golden few.
One of the interesting things that I ran across in the introduction to the book, I never knew that the Protestants had an Apocrypha. I knew the Catholics had an Apocrypha, but I had no idea there was a Protestant Apocrypha.
There isn't. They took it out.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there used to be a Protestant Apocrypha, according to the...
They didn't have it called Apocrypha, but they had all these books in the original Bible
mm-hmm.
that the Catholics had.
Right.
And, of course, Enoch was not in there at all.
Right.
In the Apocryphas.
Right.
And in, it was 1800 or so, or 1790-something, there was a group formed. I was in England. It was called the Biblical Destruction Group for the Protestants.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was in 1814, they closed house and disbanded, mission accomplished. They had removed the Apocrypha.
I see.
They take those 14 books out of the Bible and became, Apocrypha means secret.
Mm-hmm.
It's secret words that you're not supposed to know.
Right, right. And that's explained in the introduction of the book. Now, although Enoch is not, the books of Enoch are not included in the Catholic Apocrypha, you know, as listed books in the Apocrypha, most of what's in the Apocrypha that I'm familiar with is along the same lines of the majority of what the book of Enoch is about, which is about the lives and wars of angels and devils and all that.
Well, now, Enoch is much more...
Oh, there's a lot more than that, sure. But, I mean, that's...
The Apocrypha is... A lot of that's just children's stories.
Right.
But there's also history that they took out that should have been left alone.
Well, okay.
The period between the Old Testament and the New Testament they took out, which was the history of the Maccabees.
Yeah.
Which was the ruling family of Israel at that time.
Right. Now, tell us...
The Book of Enoch holds importance for all, both, I mean, particularly Christian religions, is because... I think it's Jude or James mentions the book.
Yeah.
As though it's part of the study.
Right. Well, okay. Now, just to give the folks a taste of what the book of Enoch is all about, do you have maybe a story from the book of Enoch that you'd like to just paraphrase real quick, let people know kind of what it's all about?
What got me was he came to the edges of the universe and could feel the edges of the universe and its contour.
Uh-huh.
Knowing there were more universes on the other side.
Yeah.
And that just shocked me when I first read that, but from any of the book of Enoch, it's in one of them.
So like 3500 BC, we had people writing about the multiverse.
If you believe that Bible timeline, which is pure garbage.
Well, okay, how long ago do you think it was?
I think most of this stuff has been in the 10,000 BC to 9,000 BC.
Yeah.
Because that's the time of the Great Flood. That's the time of the sinking of Atlantis. That's the time of the lost continent of Lemuria.
Yeah.
And all these things happen at the same time from some cataclysm that caused the ice caps to melt, which caused the flood, that caused the waters to come up from the abyss.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so Enoch was traveling all over the universe. Who was he? Who was carrying him around?
Well, they claim it was an angel. Of course, that's mistranslated. It's a messenger.
Uh-huh.
And probably in a ship.
Yeah.
Spaceship.
Did the messenger have a name?
They had several of them.
Oh, he had a lot of different ones.
Yeah, he had a lot of guides that would go to different things showing different stuff.
So this is probably what was meant by walking and talking with God.
Yes.
So.
Same experience that Ezekiel had with the wheel and the chariot.
Right.
You know, at least there you saw that it was not something magical other than in their eyes it was magical, but he had an actual ship that he stepped into and left without dying.
Yeah. Well, if some alien appeared who had technology so far advanced from ours that we couldn't even recognize it as being technology, we would consider them gods, would we not?
We already did.
Right.
People understand the God of the Garden of Eden is not your friend. He wanted you to stay dumbed down, dumb forever, but the gods who brought you mathematics, the gods who brought you metallurgy, the gods who brought you masonry, the gods who brought you the builders, the architects, all the learning, the reading and writing, those were the gods that were actually cared about mankind.
Well, the God of the Garden of Eden was kind of a zookeeper, wasn't he?
He was a slaveholder.
Yeah.
The God who released us was, according to biblical record, we called Hasatan, which was the adversary to the God of Eden.
Satan.
Right.
Yeah.
And in Samaria, it's and Enki and Enlil. And Enlil was the one who gave us the learning, while Enki was the one trying to keep us alive for his garden, his slavery.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's in the equivalent in Greek mythology would be Prometheus. Prometheus is the god who brought man the knowledge of how to build fire.
Prometheus, god?
Yeah.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Enki has, Enki and Enlil. Enki is also known as Ea.
Mm-hmm.
Ea.
Yeah.
Which is another name for God in the Hebrew and the sacred languages.
Right. But Prometheus, as punishment for giving this knowledge to mortal men, he was chained to the side of a cliff where a raven would spend all day eating his liver out, and overnight his liver would grow back, and the next day the raven would pick it out again.
So, you know, some of this has got to be childhood fairy tales.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know if it's mythology, but there's no telling how much has been embellished over time, but the nugget of truth is there about our prehistory.
Well, that's kind of a sticky wicket there, you know, because it can go both ways when you say some of this stuff is childhood fairy tales.
Well, some of it.
You say some of these myths are childhood fairy tales, but some of these childhood fairy tales are myths.
Well, I've been told by some reliable psychologists and doctors that when a child tells you he's seen this horrible monster in his room at night,
yeah,
believe him.
Right.
He saw it.
Yeah.
Just because we're adults and we don't see it, is because we are guarded against it. We've already gone through that. We've got our minds set against it. He's seeing principalities and powers that are unseen to us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've read the original Grimm's fairy tales.
Oh, yes.
That's some really archetypal stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's the allegory that the whole Bible is supposed to be.
But you know, what you're saying there about that their minds have been fixed where they can't see it, I have an interesting anecdote about that.
The shadow people?
No. No, this is from science. When I was in, I think, sixth grade in health class, you know, we saw one of those old movies back when they'd put them on the projector, you know, and they had the guy who talked like this narrating them, and it was showing some experiments that they'd done about perception, and they took and they put this, you know how big all the optical equipment was in the 50s. They had this giant contraption they put over this guy's head that made him see everything upside down, right? And they have him try to walk. They have him try to ride a bicycle, have him try to drive a car, have him try to cook a meal and all that stuff, and he can't do it. And they keep the thing on him for several days. Well, after a couple of days, because he can't function that way. His mind altered his perception and flipped his vision over to where, with the contraption on, he saw everything right side up. And so for the rest of the test, he was fine. But when he took the contraption off,
he was blind.
No, he wasn't blind. Everything was upside down for the same period of time that it took to flip. You know, it took another day or two for it to flip back. And I always compared that to, you know, an LSD experience, because if you go and you look at the science behind an LSD experience, what people are seeing when they have an LSD or any type of psychedelic experience, with psilocybin mushrooms, LSD, peyote, whatever it is, according to science, what they're seeing for the most part is most likely more accurate than what we actually see as conscious, sober, sentient adults. And what I mean by that is, you know, solid things take on a liquid appearance with lots of motion and all that, which, as we know from physics, is how they're actually behaving. This table right here that I'm banging on is not nearly as solid as it appears to my hand and my eyes and all that. And it's certainly not sitting still. It's in very rapid motion, every bit of it, you know.
Sure.
And so you see these things for a while, and the pharmacologist will tell you that the reason that the LSD experience lasts anywhere from like 6 to 8 hours, 6 to 12 hours, you know, whatever the duration of it is, depending on the dose you take. The reason that it ends when it does is not because the drug has worn off, because it's a weird drug that doesn't work that way, like alcohol or cocaine or meth or something does, where you get a bunch of it in you and it works until it wears off, and then you do more and it works again. LSD quits working because your mind adjusts back to what we understand is reality. And when you contrast those two things, then I think you can see what I'm saying here in contrast to what you're saying about trusted little kids, because there is a certain reality that, or a certain way that we have to perceive reality to function in the material world that may not be true absolute reality.
Now you're talking about looking at different dimensions.
Right.
Twilight Zone was very good at just pointing that out many times.
Yeah, yeah.
But to get back to Enoch, he also has one that's called the Emerald Tablets of Thoth. Emerald Tablets of Thoth is probably the most unique book you'll ever read.
Yeah.
And that's the one where he buried a spaceship under the pyramid for our escaping at the end time.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, we did a show on the book Mysteries of the Pyramid. I recommend everybody go and check it out. You just click on the link that says our past shows archived. And
you know, they always show Thoth as the human with a bird head.
Right.
Now,
the messenger guy.
I'm told by people that were on that archaeological excavation that you saw the TV cameras going there, and they're going to look at the grave of Thoth.
Mm-hmm.
They found it in the Sphinx.
Yeah.
In one of the legs or something. And the cameras were never allowed to shoot a picture of the coffin. When they opened it, according to the one archaeologist, it was definitely human bones with a bird head.
Well, that's odd.
Is it that odd? You got the story of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
I think they call him Shaitan.
Mm-hmm.
Of the Mayan, Shaitan was banished to live in the caves under the earth. Because he was a genetic scientist creating mindless blobs that couldn't function for themselves.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to see this crap, so they banned him to live under the earth.
Yeah. He was creating.
Where was the serpent banned in Genesis?
He was creating politicians.
Yeah. And definitely. Netanyahu's one of them now.
Yeah.
Mindless blob.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, during the debate last night, Carly Fiorina said if elected president, the first thing she's going to do is call her good friend Bibi Netanyahu and see what he needs.
Who said that?
Carly Fiorina.
Who the hell is that?
She's a Tea Party senator from some Rust Belt state.
Woman?
Yeah.
What is wrong with these politicians? I haven't heard of it. Trump's probably the closest thing. Says, let's help America first.
Yeah. Well, what's wrong with these politicians is they're Jewed up the ass. Unfortunately, Trump, too. But I just have to overlook that because they all are. You know, I have to put the Israel thing aside and judge them on the rest of the issues, because you're not going to get one out of this election who doesn't say he loves Israel better than all the rest of them.
What stranglehold have they got on them?
You tell me.
We're not going to get elected because we're not going to put the media behind you?
Well, you put your prayer in the wailing wall or you'll never get a donation. You know, they know everything.
Why would they worship a wailing wall, which is Herod's temple? Not the Temple of Solomon.
The Jews?
Yeah.
Because they're not Hebrews.
No, they're not ethnic. They're not Hebrews.
Hebrews are Aryans. We've discussed that.
You can find a lot of the Semites of the Muslim bunch are of that Aryan, what do you call it? I don't know if you call them Aryans, but they're going to be part of that.
Caucasian.
Lost tribes.
Yeah.
They are the lost tribes.
Well, they'll have a lot of that.
And I think the Promised Land is much, maybe, you know, much bigger than just Austria.
They'll have a lot of that in them, but the last vestiges of you know, ancient races over in the Middle East that haven't been, you know, mixed race, that still survive as what they were, are being killed out by ISIS.
If we were going to choose a promised land, who would you choose? Where would you choose it?
Texas.
Yeah, I'd choose the Americas or Russia continent.
Or
that's where they got the big food belts.
Or Europe.
Europe's gone. I mean, it doesn't even can't feed itself anymore.
Well, yeah, but that's not because of the resources. That's because of all these Africans and Middle Easterners and all that are flooding in there.
Well, they just about destroyed everything over there and all the wars they decided to have, you know, yeah. Last century.
Yeah, but that kind of stuff all gets rebuilt. I mean, you can't destroy the land.
Sure you can.
Well, you can, but they didn't.
I think Japan's a good example of destroyed lands.
Yeah, that's true.
There's an island that the United States has had to bring in, I think it's 6 foot of fresh soil to put on top of the ones they irradiated.
Yeah.
Nuclear weapons.
Right. Well, the Bikini Atoll didn't fare too well from that stuff either.
I think that's one of the islands where they're having to bring in the soil to bring the natives back.
Yeah. Well, so what else do we need to know about the books of Enoch?
You need to get them and study them.
Yeah.
Not as a biblical text, but just knowledge of what you haven't been told.
Right.
You know, that Emerald Tablets of Toth, the Secrets of Enoch, and the Book of Enoch by the Shoah translation, which is much more accurate, are a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah.
And then you advance and we'll talk about the Apocalypse of Baruch. And you talk about some damning prophecies, it damns the Christian church in there.
Bernard Baruch?
Huh?
Bernard Baruch?
No, it's just a little Baruch. I think it was Jeremiah's scribe.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
But if they want that general type as a top, I'm making a deal. They put a check or money order in an envelope and mail it to the here for $5. That's just to cover postage out of here. They can have one for free.
Or what about if they do it through the PayPal?
Yeah, I can do that too. If you mark it down for Enoch and give me the name and address on the PayPal receipt thing.
Okay. So you heard it right here. Go to our PayPal link.
$5 is all.
Send goes $5.
Out.
$5. He'll send you an Emerald Tablets of Toth. And
it's about 68 pages booklet.
And we've got an upcoming show we're gonna do on that. We haven't decided when. I guess we'll see how many people buy the books.
I think this is it.
This is the show about the Emerald Tablets?
Well, the Emerald Tablets, there's not a whole lot to cover. I mean, if you can't read it, you can't discuss it. You know, it's really nothing there.
Right.
You read this thing and you read the hidden mysteries of the mysteries of the pyramid with it, and it's going to blow your mind about what's been known.
And it's a really nice book too. It's got a nice green cover.
Yeah, but it's a booklet. It's not a major read.
But what I'm saying is, if enough people buy it, then I'll go ahead and install the chat room and
talk about it. We'll do a good show on it.
Yeah, we'll do a book study show, book of the week or book of the month club type show on Emerald Tablets, and people can be right there in the chat room and ask questions, give comments and all that, and we'll cover them all on the show.
I think it's probably one of the greatest finds we've had of this past 50 years well, actually longer than that now, but in new documents coming forward that they discovered.
And HiddenMysteries.com is
full of this kind of stuff.
The only place worth a damn to buy it from.
I mean, maybe the only place to buy it. In fact, I got a call yesterday from a lady at Barnes & Noble. She couldn't find an Apocrypha.
Yeah.
Not even at Barnes & Noble.
Huh.
Barnes & Noble looked us up and had her call us to order the book.
Well, it's like I tell everybody all the time, hiddenmysteries.com is the premier alternative bookstore out there on these interwebs. We are up in these tubes. And
we've got the books on one called, how did that work? I don't remember the exact name because it's using a Latin name or a Greek name, but it's the whole study of where the book of Enoch came from and what part of it that Jude or James read from.
Yeah.
And Enoch Restitutus. Restitution, yeah.
Okay, well, I guess maybe we've given enough information here to whet people's appetite, but I want to throw in here that, you know, don't let Ghost downplay the part about the wars between angels and devils too much,
there.
Because it is there, and it is weird, and it is interesting. But
it's definitely there.
Yeah, so, you know, check out...
I don't know. It wasn't actually war going on. It's something he was told about, I think.
Right. But check it out. Check out the...
But where else did we hear about that?
Isaiah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And?
Oh,
The Vishnus. The...
Oh, right, right.
Over
yeah.
Ancient India.
Yeah, Hinduism. Yeah, sure, sure.
So these wars in the heavens happened. Now, archaeology will say they never happened, but we've got volumes of ancient writings that says it did.
Oh, a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. All right. Well,
lost in space.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to call it a night. We're going to post those links. And remember, everybody, $5, just $5, enough to cover shipping and handling. We'll get you a copy of the Emerald Tablets of Thoth. And... we'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow is the regularly scheduled Hidden Mysteries Radio Show, where we'll be talking about current events from our own unique viewpoint. So we hope to see you tomorrow. Good night, everybody.